Blog Talk Radio.
QT with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Real quick, some show notes. If you're looking for some pro wrestling today, Mid Valley Pro Wrestling in Kaiser, Oregon today. You also have PWK in Bourbon, Indiana, and Blue Collar Wrestling like usual at 7611 North Exeter in Portland, Oregon. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest to the program today. His first time with us, Gino Rivera. Welcome to the show.
What's up? What's up? It's Gino Rivera here. How's everybody doing?
Doing very well today. Now, since it is your first time with us, we're going to ask you our traditional first timers question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
I can just say that I can't give you an exact year because there was a little bit of a couple of spurts here and there where I saw Jake the Snake and Hulk Hogan. But what got me into wrestling, I was flipping the channel and I saw somebody get hit by a chair, and it was Shawn Michaels destroy the Undertaker with a chair on Raw. And ever since then, I was hooked. Every single week, I started watching WWF at the time. And then I got into WCW, and just ever since then, it's been on, and I can't stop. I'm obsessed. I'm an addict.
At one point, did you stop watching it for entertainment as much as you did watching it and realizing you wanted to do this as a profession?
So I've always wanted to be a wrestler. I just didn't know how to get into it. It wasn't like, you know, oh, you can register at a school here and, you know, be a wrestler, you know. It wasn't like that. But I was actually at a WWE show in Los Angeles, and I got a flyer for Santino Bros Wrestling out in California, and it was their opening of the school, and I decided, why not? Let's give it a try. I've always wanted to do this. So I paid my tuition, got my training, but I didn't know how real the sport was. I didn't know the entertainment value. I just thought you get in there and you wrestle, you fight, you know, and there's a little bit of magic to pro wrestling as I, you know, got to, you know, start training along the years. I started understanding how it works and stuff. So you could say around the year 2008, I stopped watching it for an entertainment value, you know, aspect, and then started getting into it as, wow, this is actually my life now. So say that.
Now, you personally are not necessarily the largest guy on the independent wrestling circuit. You're more of a cruiserweight as far as your size and abilities go. Do you think that the cruiserweight division right now, especially in your area, is a healthy division?
Not so much in my area. When I was on the West Coast, it was I don't know. There really wasn't a cruiserweight kind of thing, you know, until it started becoming mainstream. It was always the big guy versus the little guy, or, you know, it was never, I've never gone against guys that were my size. I've always wrestled people that were bigger than me, and I was always the smaller guy. But, yeah, man, I am a cruiserweight. I am 170 pounds, and I've taken that pretty much, I don't know, as far as that cruiserweight title goes, yeah, I agree, I am one, but I want to hang out there with the big boys, and I like to get up there in the heavyweight division sometime. I am actually a champion of a heavyweight division company based in Arizona, and I am the man there. I am the top guy. I am the heavyweight champion there. So size doesn't really matter for me.
You say size doesn't matter for you, and you definitely wrestle guys that are bigger than you. What would you say has been the biggest size discrepancy between you and one of your opponents?
Everybody I step in the ring with, they tower over me, you know, and to me it's just another tree that I can chop down, you know. I've never been afraid of a guy that, you know, is 7 foot, or a guy that's 6 foot and he's 200 pounds. My agility, not only that, it's all about brains, man, you know, and how I win, how you win. So it doesn't matter who they put in front of me, what size, shape, it doesn't matter. They're just all going to fall to the Brooklyn Stomp, which is a variation of a double stomp. And I wrestled a guy by the name of Eric Watts about 3 or 4 weeks ago, who stands damn near over 6'6", and I chopped him down like a tree. You know, I could name countless guys that I've gone in the ring with, and size has never been a factor for me. I just see it as how smart as is this guy, you know.
And you say that everybody towers over you, but have you ever been in a position where you were actually the bigger guy in the match?
I've wrestled a bunch of women, and as far as women goes, yes, I've been the bigger guy, so that's always fun. But again, you know, I don't even look at it as size. You know, I'm a smaller guy, so I never underestimate anybody that's smaller than me or the same size. I look at the guy's eyes, you know what I mean? If I'm staring at him across the ring, staring at her across the ring, the moment they look away, I know I already got them. I beat them psychologically, mentally. I've already had them beat. So that's how I look at it. Size is never a problem.
You mentioned being a champion there in Arizona. I know that championships are something that a lot of wrestlers take pride in holding, and usually there's a few out there that are on their bucket list to hold. What are some of the championships that you have yet to hold that you most covet?
Well, of course, everybody wants to be in the big company in New York, and everybody wants to go to Japan and do the whole Ring of Honor stuff. But currently, I'm happy with where I'm at. I've been wrestling for almost 10 years, and it took me damn near 10 years to win my first title, which is the Arizona State Championship under the Championship Wrestling from Arizona brand, based with David Marquez. And I won that October 28th, 2017, and I'm still the champ. We're in June now. I plan on holding it forever. I don't want to lose it. I feel this title means so much to me right now, and this is the biggest title I can hold. It's my first. It's, you know, definitely not my last, but all I can say is I'm happy where I'm at right now. Do I want to go to Japan? Of course, I'd love to go to Japan and be the top guy there. Do I want to go to WWE? I'd love to hold the Cruiserweight title, head to 205 Live and hold that title, but I'm very extremely happy with where I'm at with Championship Wrestling from Arizona. Not to mention, I also hold another championship title called the Full Access Championship title with a company in New Mexico, and I am the Full Access Champion. I've held it since February of 2018, and I'm going into a match defending it this Saturday against Manny Lemons, who's featured with Ring of Honor and FSW in Las Vegas, and he's all over the place. But I also beat him for my first title, the Championship Wrestling from Arizona title, and I beat him for the New Mexico title, Full Access Championship. So, I mean, I'm on a roll. I'm also the 2014 West Coast Cruiser Cup winner in California. There's no stopping me, and I'm going to collect a belt in every state if I can, and if I can make it up to the big leagues, best believe I will be Cruiserweight champion if I can make it past there. I've always had this thing in my heart. I've always wanted to be the Intercontinental champion since a kid, so that's the main title. But other than that, like I said, I'm pretty much happy with the titles I have.
Now, you mentioned the big leagues and perhaps Intercontinental Championship, your ultimate goal in the business. When you look at the landscape of the major promotions right now, there are more smaller guys in the top spots than perhaps ever before. You see guys that were traditionally cruiserweights with the world championship in a lot of places. Do you think that right now guys that are your size have the best chance of success than any time in history as far as the professional wrestling business goes?
Absolutely. And let me tell you about guys my size. We are taking over. There's no more, you know, big men. There's no more muscly guys that, you know, can deliver what we can, with the exception of maybe Brian Cage. But, you know, whenever you see a guy my size, you know you're going to get guaranteed action. You're going to get the best match on the card because we move faster. We want to perform better. We want to be in the main event spot, so we give you that main event. Rather with the opening match, mid-card match, main event, it doesn't matter. We want to give you the best match on the card, and that's what we do. And I'm not just speaking for me. I'm speaking for all guys my size. You know, speaking like for a guy like Daniel Bryan, or Neville, Ricochet. These are guys that we're all around the same size. And I guarantee you, every time these guys come out, you are excited. Like, I used to watch WCW in 96. And I'd watch Rey Mysterio and Psicosis and Juventud Guerrera and Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko, Jericho, the list goes on. And I would get excited for those guys because I wanted to see the flips, the cool stuff, more than I'd get excited for the guys like Macho Man or Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart or whatever. I would want to see – I mean, Bret Hart was good too, but I was more excited for the little guys that could do the cool stuff in the ring that I would always emulate as a kid. And – the same goes for me, is when I get in that ring, I know I'm going to have the best match on the card. I'm going to give you all I've got, and I'm going to give you guys something you've never seen that the main eventers can't give you. The excitement, the action, and you're going to get a good, you know, a good story told from my matches.
You say you were a big fan of the Cruiserweight division in WCW. We learned on this very program from the man himself that Kevin Sullivan actually created the cruiserweight division and based it on boxing, where there was a cruiserweight division historically. He brought that to professional wrestling. Were you aware that Kevin Sullivan is actually the man to thank for having cruiserweight divisions in wrestling?
Thank you, Kevin Sullivan. Thank you so much. You have made my dreams come true based on that. I never knew that, but I am so thankful to hear that. That's a complete shock out of nowhere. I always thought Eric Bischoff, you know, Mr. Credit Taker, you know, I thought he found people and brought them from Mexico and Japan, and, you know, WWE had to take suit with Takamichi Shinoku, and, you know, I did not know that. I'm blown away, but thank you very much, Kevin Sullivan. That is amazing.
I will pass your thanks along to him the next time I see him.
Will do.
Now, in professional wrestling on the independent circuit, anyone that goes to very many promotion knows that rings are going to vary in terms of quality. There's some really nice rings, and then there are some that are not so good as far as competing inside of them. Without naming names or anything like that, what would you say has been the worst ring in which you've had to compete?
I've been in tons of Lucha Libre companies based out of California, and lots of upstarts and a lot of debut companies, Lucha Libre companies, and they don't use the traditional wrestling ring. Some people take any ring they can find, any ring they can buy for absolutely basically nothing, dirt cheap. And sometimes those rings are boxing rings, and they hurt like hell. They put guys to work that day, and I guarantee you when people wrestle in those boxing rings, they leave with a little bit of their body left in that ring because it's kind of like cement. It hurts. There's no give. Every bit hurts, and the traditional rings, there's a little bit of a give, but if you're a tough guy, man, you can take it. I've wrestled in 100, you know, Lucha Libre rings that hurt like hell, but, you know, after a while, the adrenaline, you don't feel it. It's usually when you wake up in the morning and you can't get out of bed, that's when you hurt, you know. But I just say lots of lucha companies that buy boxing rings, that's a no-no. I hope people stop doing that soon. But it happens every single week. Somebody starts up with a boxing ring. You never know till you get there. But you already have your pay. You've got your money. What are you going to do?
Good point. Now, in a similar vein, the actual venues themselves where the shows are held can vary. Most wrestlers have a favorite one or two for several different reasons. It might be just because of the aesthetic look of a building. It might be because of the way that the sound is. It might be because of the fan base that usually goes to that building. But over the course of your career, what would you say has been your favorite venue?
My favorite venue? Ah, man. I got my first big push with a company called Battleground Pro Wrestling in 2011, 2010, around there. And I always loved performing in that VFW hall or whatever it was. But the roof, the ceiling was super low, so you couldn't really do much. But I always loved being there performing. I just loved the atmosphere, and just it made me feel like home. Anywhere else, I've always kind of had like a weird feeling. I've always been a little tense or scared, and unpredictability is just never fun, you know. So I'm going to go with it was in Los Alamitos / Long Beach for a company called Battleground Pro Wrestling. That was one of my favorite venues, the VFW Hall.
Wrestling can be set up pretty much anywhere, and of course pretty much any building that has enough room you can set a ring up, but there are also a lot of outdoor shows, especially this time of year, because wrestling can be basically brought anywhere where there's room for a ring and to put a few fans. Are you a fan of doing outdoor shows as a general rule?
I'm conflicted with it because, look, man, when I got into the business in 2008, we trained in the backyard, and it was hot as hell. The mats were hot. The turnbuckles were hot. The ropes were hot. So I got used to it, you know what I mean? And when we get taken down to the mat or have a takedown or whatever, we get right back up because that mat was hot as hell, and it'd leave lots of burns on our back. So anytime I get that feeling or that opportunity to wrestle in the sun or at a bash at a beach area, I've wrestled on beaches. I've wrestled in, you know, a whole bunch of places where it's just open and in parks and everywhere. And it doesn't faze me too much. Do I want to do it? No. But, you know, for the love of the sport, I love wrestling and I just want to wrestle. And when you want to wrestle, you don't care where you wrestle. You just want to have a good match and entertain. And outdoors never really affects me, but indoors helps a lot. Especially when there's air conditioner. If not, then we burn and we suffer with the whole heat. But, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I can do either one.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Yeah, come on down.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Gino.
Hello.
Now, Gino, I saw your YouTube video entitled Seville, The Thrill, Gino Rivera versus Pinky, and it was for Destiny Wrestling Organization in 2016. Have you since wrestled for Destiny Wrestling Organization? Have you moved from that area?
Absolutely. I have wrestled for Destiny Wrestling Organization. I currently hold their Full Access Championship title. I won that February of this year. I beat Manny Lemons, and I currently hold that title. And I also have another match against Manny Lemons this Saturday with Destiny Wrestling Organization. I've been wrestling there since, I believe, 2016. And the match that you saw currently versus Pinky, that was my debut match, which I was unsuccessful, by the way.
Yes, I saw that to the end. And Pinky, you did a Hurricane Rana off the apron, and you threw him to the bottom of the entrance ramp, and he was faking an ankle injury. And you got back into the ring thinking that he couldn't go on, and I heard someone in the crowd said he's faking it, and sure enough, he came back into the ring, and he gave you a modified choke slam that wasn't really a choke slam. He brought his knee up, and unfortunately, he got the 1-2-3.
Unfortunately, he did, and he is a cheater, and I'll never forgive him for that. But here's a little tip for you. Back in 2008, in Norwalk, California, under Santino Bros Wrestling Academy, which Joey Chaos is the trainer there and gave me my start. You want to know who was beside me? Who was beside me was Hino, the same guy that defeated me, the same guy that faked an ankle injury, the same guy that knows me like the back of his hand. I should have known better.
Yes, early at that academy, I think you were trained by, like you said, Joey Chaos, but you also had a guy named Mongo Santino and Angel Exotico and Bobby Phoenix.
Yes, I actually had a handful of trainers, and if you don't mind, I'd like to give you a little clue into who trained me. So Joey Chaos of XPW trained me. Mongo Santino of Slammers trained me. XPW Supreme trained me. XPW Angel Exotico trained me. Robbie Phoenix trained me. Rico Dynamite trained me. Former Lucha Underground and AAA star Steve Payne trained me. Clay Motley, Carnage, Jezebel Romo, and BC Killer. Those are all the wrestlers, all of the trainers that trained me along the years to be the wrestler I am today. So a huge thank you to them, and they are all under the Santino Bros merger. Currently training everybody today, as you can see, you know, Santino Brothers, they have been on E! They've been on the ABC channel. WWE has worked with them. They're all over the place. And if you guys are looking to be a pro wrestler, definitely head on to SantinoBros.com to check that out. Contact Joey Chaos, who's always open for new classes and new students. You can't go wrong there. I've survived 10 years. We've got guys like Famous B of Lucha Underground that's come out of the same school. Just a whole ton of wrestlers that have come out of there, and we're all still going strong. You want to be trained, you want to be a wrestler, you want to be trained the right way, Santino Bros is the right way. Santino Bros is where it's at.
Wow. Now, are there any truth to the rumors that Clay Motley had a part-time job as roadie to Motley Crue? Any truth to those rumors?
I am not sure. I have no idea of that. I can tell you that Clay was a former stripper, a former Chippendale, and my coach, my trainer, and I gave him a lot of headaches, but he stuck with me early in my career, and he's a saint. So if he has another job that I don't know about, God bless his heart.
Wow, he was a former Chippendale dancer?
That's the word.
well, you've got to have like abs of steel to be a Chippendale dancer, or at least a successful one.
Not anymore, but I've got some cool dance moves.
Oh, well, now was that influenced by the Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze Saturday Night Live Chippendale dance-off? Was that inspired
you
by
could,
him?
You could definitely say that, and you could throw in a little bit of grief, John Travolta. We could call that, and then you can all give thanks to Clay Motley. He's the guy.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, if any two wrestlers out there could do the Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze Saturday Night Live Chippendale dance-off, it could probably be you and I'd say, Pinky. Pinky would be good in the role as Chris Farley.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'll agree with that. I can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with Pinky. What's up, Pink?
Well, you know, now a sign guy was asking about certain weight classes, and in that match with Pinky, you were announced at 160 pounds. Gino, did you know that the middleweight division in boxing, or at least the main title ones, like the IBF, 160 is the beginning of the middleweight division? And if you were 159 or even 159 and a half pounds, you would be billed as a super welterweight.
No idea. I mean, thanks for telling me that. You know, I'm not really much of a boxing fan. I catch the big fights, but no, I did not know that. I'm very much into strictly wrestling, and all I know is that if you're over 205 pounds or 200 pounds, you're a heavyweight, and anything under that, you're a lightweight. But that's very interesting. That's good news to know, you know?
Yes. Yes, past super welterweight champs included, let me see, it was Sugar Ray Leonard, and
yep.
Let me see, who else held that? Roberto Duran. Roberto Duran moved up to super welterweight, and then eventually middleweight.
Ooh, gotcha. Wow. How cool for them, right?
Yes, Roberto Duran started out as a lightweight, and he was undefeated, I believe, as a lightweight, except for one loss against a boxer named Esteban De Jesus. One loss. He was like 68 and one. He moved up.
How awesome. Incredible. That is incredible.
Now, Roberto Duran, he was nicknamed Hands of Stone. Can will you tell our listeners what your nickname is?
I have a list of them. So I can start off with, when I was early in my career, they would call me Seville the Thrill. Why? Because in the ring, it was always a thrill to see me perform. And then after that, they called me Hatebreed because I was so hateful. The crowd hated me. The boys in the back hated me. Just everybody. My mother hated me. It didn't matter. So they just called me a different breed of hate. It was just Hatebreed. And then they called me the Hispanic Causing Panic. Also, the Latino Al Pacino. And then recently, I got called in WWE Delgado Corazon.
Ooh, now what does that mean?
I'm not really sure of I've heard Skinny Cat and Cat Heart. So whatever that means. Dean Malenko gave it to me.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Sign Guy thought that the Seville the Thrill may have been, you might have been named that because of Bugs Bunny's Barber of Seville, where he has Elmer Fudd in the barber chair, Barber of Seville.
Never that. I'm very familiar with Bugs Bunny and the Barber of Seville, Figaro. But no, never that. I was actually, my birth name was Seville, and that was named after my mother's first car. Randomly, it was the 80s. It was a wild time. Everybody was hooked on some funny stuff. That's what happened.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Gino, are you surprised that Pinky had the entrance music by REM called Familiar Faces?
not surprised at all. Pinky's a weird guy. He's into weird stuff. Doesn't surprise me at all.
In your opinion, would he have done better with REM's song Everybody Hurts that has been performed by Amy Farrah Fowler on The Big Bang with her stand-up harp?
Yeah, you can say that. I'll agree with that if you're cool with it.
Have you yourself ever seen the episode where Amy Farrah Fowler performed Everybody Hurts on the harp?
I haven't, but I do have the Google machine, and I do have YouTube, and I will definitely get around to that.
Oh, okay. All right. That's very good. Okay. I'm just surprised Pinky was announced as having had the ashes of a broken heart when he entered the ring. He was announced. Yes. Very strange.
Yes. Yes, that's definitely Pinky. He's a very transitional, different type of human being. So, yes.
Now, I was surprised at the referee's green and black shirt. It seemed to be neatly attired. Was that one of the first times you had seen a referee in a green and black zebra stripe outfit?
That's the first time I've seen green used, and green is my favorite color, so I have no problem in the world with whatever they're wearing green-wise. I've worked for tons of lucha companies in California where I've seen different types of zebra shirts, and I've seen black shirts, and I've seen a Coors Light shirt, you know. So it never surprises me to see a referee wearing different things. You know, I've seen a referee with white pants rather than black. Referees are referees. As long as they give Gino the 1-2-3, you know, against my opponent, I'm fine. You know, I don't care what they wear. I just need them to do the job, count to three, raise my hand, and let me get the heck out of there.
Oh, now IQT Vokes at this moment will go on the air and tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, I'm very against a referee in a Coors Light shirt. That borders sacrilege. Yes. It'd be much
Welcome
better
to
if
Lucha
he was
Libre.
It'd be much better if he was in a Modelo referee shirt. Yes.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, there you go. Modelo's a good one. Yeah. Fire that guy for not wearing the Modelo shirt. I want his name.
I mean, of course, look, I could see if you were wrestling in the Denver area and you were in the Rockies, maybe. Yes.
Nobody likes Denver.
I hear that. Okay. Gino, can you tell us if you have ever been in tag team Lucha Libre competition in the Los Angeles area? Tag team Lucha Libre.
Yes, I have. I've been in tons of tag matches from 6 to 4 to 5 to 2. I've had a lot of tag team partners. I can't really name a bunch of them, but yes, I have. And I used to tag on the Lucha scene with Eli Everfly, who's also based out of Santino Bros Wrestling Academy, and who's also had stints with PWG and GCW. And together we were called Flyville. Another tag team partner that I've had, we were called the Heartless, and he goes under Damian Diablo. He was another lucha guy that we tagged around, you know, doing the lucha scene. So, yeah, I could say I've had a lot of tag matches. They're very quirky at times, a little hard to understand, but after you've been in the lucha scene for so long, you start picking it up and it becomes just like walking. You just know how to do it.
Now, was Rico Dynamite a lucha wrestler? I heard you did some training with him.
Yes. Rico Dynamite was one of my trainers in Santino Bros, and he, at the time, that's all he did was lucha, 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 and he helped me perfect my lucha along with one of the best lucha guys out there, Angel Exotico, who he would give me this look before we'd start training, and I try to look away, and I'm like, oh, I hope he's not looking at me. I don't want to do anything lucha with this guy because I get sick when he throws me all around. He wants to do all these innovative, crazy lucha stuff that, first of all, Gino Rivera is definitely afraid of heights. I hate heights. But when I'm in the ring, all that goes away. But Angel Exotico, he would definitely look at me and say, come here, kid, we're going to try this. And he'd swing me around and he'd do all these crazy deja vus and arm drags and head scissors and pop-up ranas along with Rico Dynamite, who was more the heavyweight guy, who was the base, and Steve Payne as well. Steve Payne is, like, so good at Lucha Libre, so good at wrestling, and he, I don't know, he changed the way I look at Lucha Libre along with Angel Exotico, and I've definitely developed the ability to step in the ring with any luchador and not have 1 ounce of fear in my heart, because I can go with the best and I can go in there with a guy that doesn't speak the same language as me or doesn't speak English, doesn't speak Spanish, whatever it is, Japanese, Mexican, doesn't matter. If they know Lucha Libre, I can get in there and I can adapt and I can definitely perform along with them. Thanks
wow.
to Angel Exotico. Thanks to Steve Payne. Thanks to Rico Dynamite as well.
Wow, that's very good. As a tip to your training, in appreciation, do you ever take them out to IHOP, which is now IHOB, International House of Burgers? Have you ever taken them
Blasphemy.
Out?
Blasphemy. Blasphemy. IHOB. Blasphemy. no, we don't do IHOP. We or IHOB. Sorry with the B. We do Denny's. Denny's is a wrestler's hangout at 2 a.m., but I've never taken either one of them out. I've always scrambled before the show. As soon as the show is over, I'm gone, so I don't have to catch that tab. I'm very smart about that. I've gotten smartened up about taking your trainers or other wrestlers out. Lots of dine and dashes. But because of those guys, I just I want to say thanks to Angel Exotico and Rico Dynamite and Steve Payne, because without them, I wouldn't have ever had my opportunity with the WWE on 205 Live against Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado doing Lucha Libre. That was what they were looking for. That's what they wanted. They asked me if I could do it with a crazy look in my eye. Absolutely, I could do that. And I got in there and I did the best I could. And because of them, it got me there. So that alone should just say what they can do for you as a wrestler, as a young start, as a young up and comer. You know, they've done wonders for my career, so I owe them a lot, but not IHOP.
Wow. Now, I've heard rumors that Angel Exotico and Rico Dynamite, when they were in high school, they were part of the goth crowd that dressed all in black and hung out at Denny's and drank coffee. Can you confirm those rumors?
I can confirm that. I'm not really sure about that. Angel, was it a pink trench coat? I don't know if it was a black trench coat or the goth guys, but I'm not sure. Angel, maybe Rico, probably. I could definitely see him doing that. Maybe Pinky the next one. I don't know.
All right, so you can see Rico Dynamite more in the lines of reading Edgar Allan Poe at Denny's at 3 a.m. That's what you're saying.
Oh, he's rehearsed it backstage. So yes, I could definitely agree with that.
I knew it. Okay. Dino, in that match with Pinky, you attempted a very early suicide dive through the middle ropes onto an outside the ring Pinky. Your flight through the air reminded me of a World War II Japanese Zero fighter plane at the Battle of Midway. Did you know kamikaze in Japanese translates into divine wind?
I am aware of that, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. So thank you. Now that I got somebody to notice what I was trying to do.
Oh, okay. Well, he gave you a brutal knife-edge chop at the 5-minute and 9-second mark of the match. Is he one of the harder knife-edge choppers you've been up against, Pinky?
Absolutely not. Let's leave it at that. Absolutely not. I've wrestled, like I said, guys that are taller, much bigger, with a lot of muscle mass, and they've literally caved my chest in. Pinky didn't do much for me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at the 6:17 mark of the match while you were on all fours, he gave you a modified knife edge chop between the shoulder blades. In your opinion, what is more devastating, a front knife edge chop that is like an open-handed heart punch that affects the heart, or a knife edge chop between the shoulder blade that travels to the base of the skull and the small of the back and affects the nervous system?
They both hurt, but I'm going to go with the shoulder blade in the back, and that one hurts a lot more. You know what I mean? As wrestlers, we're pretty much accustomed to, you know, anything that we can see or anything that we know is coming. As you know, you see a punch, you know it's coming. You can't avoid it. You see a chop, it's coming. You can't avoid it. But when you're catching your breath midway in the match or early in the match, ending of the match, and you get that back chop, it wakes something up in you, and it shakes you up a whole lot. And I can't tell you the feeling. I just know it's just, it hurts. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Gino, you carried the Puerto Rican flag into the ring. Can you yourself give us an estimation of when Puerto Rico will have full power at 100% restored to the island after last summer's hurricane?
I wish I had the words. I wish I had the information to even give you that. I'm praying everything goes well back home. It's a mess. It's a sad situation. But one thing you got to know about Puerto Rican people is we're very strong, and we always find a way. And I'm one of those people. I'm definitely Puerto Rican, and where there's a will, there's a way. We never give up, and we just have faith. We have a lot of faith in everything. So, you know, I wish I had the information on that, but I do not.
Now, how many times do you have a chance to visit the island of Puerto Rico? Do you go back there quite a bit?
I have a lot of family there. Unfortunately, we're all over the place. So in every single state and two different, you know, locations, as in, you know, Florida and New York. Why go back home when you can just go either one of those places and there's grandma, there's cousin, there's, you know, one-legged Joe. There, you know, we got them all right there from Florida and Brooklyn. We got everybody there. Back home is more traditional for the older folks and all that, but they want to come over to a different part of the United States rather than the island. So they, you know, they stay back home in Brooklyn and Harlem, Manhattan. They, you know, they're all over in Florida and Miami, Orlando. So, you know, I do have a lot of opportunities to go to Puerto Rico. I hope to perform in Puerto Rico in front of my family one day. And the opportunities there, I'll go. But right now I'm happy in the States.
Well, I had several chances, actually not chances, but visits to the island of Puerto Rico while I was stationed in the Coast Guard. I found your island very beautiful.
How awesome is that?
Yes. You have very nice waters. Waters
and women.
There. Yes. Unfortunately, I never had a chance to bring one back to the ship. Never did. Yes.
Damn.
Okay.
Maybe next opportunity.
Yes. Well, I have retired from the Coast Guard. Yes. Okay.
Gotcha.
Now, speaking of hurricanes, were you a big fan of the hurricane with superheroes Molly Holly and Rosie?
I was more of a fan of Molly Holly than Hurricane and Rosie.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Were you a big fan of Jimmy Wang Yang?
I absolutely love Jimmy Wang Yang. He's the greatest.
Yes, he was very good. Jimmy Wang Yang, yes. He had very good entrance music himself.
I like country music. Oh, no, that's Rap is Crap. I forgot his theme song, but I definitely liked it. I remember him coming out when I go and see him at a live event and hear his song, and he was just a ball of energy. I used to watch him back in WCW in the early, I think, 2000s, 99, I love Jimmy Wang Yang, and I wish he was on mainstream TV to perform, because he looks like a good guy, and he was just an awesome performer all around.
Do you yourself have Jimmy Wang Yang's autograph? And if not, can you tell us some of the WWE superstar autographs that you have?
I do not have Jimmy Wang Yang's autograph. Would I like it? Yeah, but I'm not so much obsessed with looking for it. I do have Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I have my idol, The Undertaker. I have his autograph. I have Hulk Hogan. I just met Hacksaw Jim Duggan last year. Eric Bischoff's autograph on two different occasions. I've spoken to him face-to-face on two or three different occasions. He's a great guy. I wish he was around, WCW was around, so they could hire me to enhance that cruiserweight division. But, yeah, I've got tons of autographs from, you know, as a kid. Not so much anymore. When you become a part of the business, autographs and pictures are just they're not something you do because you're one of them. You are one of us. So.
Ooh, okay, well, now, unfortunately, the Hacksaw Jim Duggan, I don't think you could get Sign Guy to trade with you for him. Sign Guy's not such a big fan of Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I love Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is a great guy. He was super nice to me. I know a great story that I cannot share because it's something special that only Hacksaw and I can share. But it was a great story. Maybe after he's somewhere in the wrestling god's heaven, I can share it so he doesn't kill me. But I would love to hear why you do not like, not you, but, you know, Sign Guy, why you don't like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Please enlighten me.
Okay, well, I'm sure he'll pass on that information. Okay. Okay. Well, Gino, for the record, can you tell us what your high school colors were and your mascot? This is going into a journal that I'm keeping.
I graduated from Cotella High School. It was red and black, and we were the Knights in Anaheim, California.
Oh, okay. Wow, red and black. Okay, that's a little different. Okay, very good, very good. All right. Well, Gino, do you have plans for July the 4th? Are you wrestling near our Independence Day?
I'm wrestling on the 8th, 4 days after that. But I will be lighting some fireworks, not only on the street, but in my neighborhood, as I will be setting off a lot of fireworks, pissing my neighbors off until they come out and catch a pile driver. How about that?
Oh, wow. Hey. Wow, okay. You'll have to keep us updated on that. Okay.
Will very, do. Very will good. Do. I've got a neighbor who hates wrestling, and that's another blasphemy kind of thing. So I'm going to light some fireworks right in front of his mailbox until he comes out and probably catches a pile driver or DDT. I don't know. What do you say?
Whoa, Boy, I'd pay big money to see that. Okay. Or maybe you could give him a tap between the shoulder blades. Yes.
Yeah, you know what? After I give him a pile driver in the gravel when he tries to get up from that, maybe this 56-year-old man can catch a back chop right between the shoulder blades to wake him up after that. How's that sound?
Or you could send Pinky over to slow dance with him to the song Everybody Hurts. That'd be terrible.
You know what? That might be better than giving him a pile driver. I'll take him up on that. Pinky, where are you?
Yeah. Okay. Well, at this time, Gino, I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy.
All right. Pleasure.
Thank you, QT. Well, Gino, you mentioned the appearance on 205 Live, and you were taking some pictures there, and it looked like Tony Nese may have misinterpreted what you were trying to accomplish. Are there any lingering hostilities between yourself and Tony Nese?
Yes, Tony Nese is the evilest man I've ever met beside myself. He actually tricked me into I thought I could get a picture backstage of myself. Hey, I'm at the WWE. Maybe I'll get a contract. Maybe I'll get signed. You mind taking the picture for me, Tony Nese? Which he actually asked, hey, can I take a picture for you? And I said, sure, hold my phone. No flash. What he does, he takes the picture, walks away. I look at my phone, and guess what I have?
Picture of Tony Nese.
I have a giant picture of a beard and a smile of Tony Nese, which I immediately deleted, and it made me so angry. But by the time I could find him, he was already gone. And as you know, backstage, there's 100 people working everywhere. I couldn't find him. But if I ever get my hands on Tony Nese, he will get a pile driver from me just for doing that.
Well, hopefully you will get the chance someday.
Absolutely.
Now, we talked a lot about the cruiserweight division, but another division that is extremely popular with today's wrestling fan is the women's division. Women's wrestling has gained a lot of ground over the last 5 years or so. It's no longer just the match before intermission or the match after intermission where people can make their way to concession stands. A lot of shows have multiple women's matches where before there was only one per show at the very, very most. The actual in-ring abilities have become better and better in the women's division. Looking at the landscape of things where you're at, how healthy would you say that the women's divisions are for companies where you work?
You know what? It is women's wrestling right now is almost, I'd say, even better than men's wrestling today. They've stepped up their game. I'm always excited to see a wrestling match, just like I used to be watching the cruiserweights when they would come out. Today, I see a wrestling match involving women, and I am immediately intrigued. I'm excited. I watch the crowd. I watch the women, and it's just at an all-time high. Wrestling for women has never been better. I don't think so. Out of all the years of women's wrestling, it's never been where it is today, and I am so happy. I'm so proud of all the women today. I'm a little jealous, you know what I mean? They're doing first time everything, you know what I mean? And I can just say I watched the match between Becky last night, and I was just so happy and so hooked to her match. And I can say some of the women out there perform better than the guys. So huge kudos to all of you women wrestlers.
Well, we've come down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that you have plenty of time. So if there are any things that you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything that you have, social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite movie theater, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Okay, here we go. So again, my name is Gina Rivera. I am a pro wrestler from Brooklyn, New York. They call me the Puerto Rican Pitbull. I also trained at the school of Santino Bros Wrestling Academy, ran by Joey Chaos in Bell Gardens, California. In 2008 is when I made my pro debut. My trainers, Chaos, Mongol, Supreme, Angel Exotico, Robbie Phoenix, Rico Dynamite, Steve Payne, Clay Montley, Carnage, Jezebel, and BC Killer, still in the business today. A huge thanks to the people that put me on TV, mainly David Marquez. And I have to give a thanks to Jesse Hernandez, who runs EWF out in California. I am a 9-year pro of the business. I started on January 17th of 2009. I made my WWE debut in 2018 under 205 Live in February of 2018, episode 65 with the WWE Network against Lince Dorado and Grand Metalik. I am the first ever Arizona State champion under Championship Wrestling from Arizona, which you can see every month, every first of the month. I also made my pro wrestling TV debut in 2015. I can definitely say my accomplishments are, I am the West Coast Cruiser Cup winner in 2014. I've made the Los Angeles Times in 2009. I was actually on Section A5, Monday, March 16, 2009. I've made PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I've also had my song, Wrestling, by Seville Alvarez, played on WrestleZone Daily Radio in August of 2016. I was also, in 2015, presented the Most Inspirational Wrestler, which I also got a trophy from that. I also have my own trading card. I am in two different music videos for the Utah Saints called What You Can Do For Me and with Kimbra called Warrior. I've had seminars with Jeff Jarrett. I've been an extra for the WWE for the past 4 years, working with Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, The New Day, Usos, Brock Lesnar, and recently with the 205 Live roster. I was ranked in PWI as number 7 with Deathling organization. My notable opponents, I've wrestled people like Shelly Martinez, Famous B, B-Boy, Manny Lemon, Scorpio Sky, Human Tornado, Joey Ryan, some of the names there. I have a lot of tag team experience, and you can contact me at GinaRivera@yahoo.com. For booking inquiries, contact me at GinaRivera@yahoo.com. My Twitter, Gino Told You So. Instagram, Gino Told You So. Facebook, Gino Told You So. Gino Rivera. And as far as anything else, I'd like to say thank you for all this time that you guys have given me. Why? Because I told you so.
Gino Rivera, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on Turnbuckle Turmoil today. We appreciate you taking the time here on your Sunday to be with us. Fans, if you get the opportunity, definitely buy yourself a ticket and see what Gino Rivera is all about. Very, very talented cruiserweight wrestler. I think you'll be very pleased if you go out there and support what he is doing. We will be back with you next week, next Friday afternoon. We have Paxton Callaway with us, giant competitor out of Ohio. And a week from today, we have Drake out of Wrestle Club in Idaho. He should be an outstanding guest as well, so make sure you have plans in place to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.